This is the Pete Bradley Show podcast, episode 10. We made it to double digits. Thank you for joining us. On the podcast today, I'm going to focus in on strokes. I was able to connect with a spokesperson at the National Stroke Association. Now, in case you don't know, I had a stroke at the end of February 2016. While I was recovering from the stroke, I found the National Stroke Association website and their Facebook page. I reached out this week and was connected to Crystal Blaylock, the development director for the National Stroke Association. I asked her how she got involved.
I have a personal connection to stroke. Both of my grandparents on my paternal side experienced strokes throughout my childhood, and my grandfather passed away after a secondary stroke while he was still in the hospital recovering from his first stroke when I was six. And that was really difficult to be so young and see how it affected my parents and my extended family, because it was shocking. He was an otherwise very healthy person, and it was really scary to realize that it could come out of nowhere like that.
Right.
And then my grandmother on my paternal side had a number of TIAs, or what we casually refer to as a mini stroke, over about 10 years. And unfortunately, she had a lot of risk factors and was not great at behavior modification to prevent them, even though they were controllable. And so I saw a slow decline over about a 10-year period in her overall health because of these experiences, in and out of the hospital and rehab facilities. And that placed a great caregiver burden on my family and my extended family. And that was really difficult to watch. So when an opportunity came up here with the National Stroke Association, it felt like such a great fit, because I understood what it was like to experience that devastating and life-changing event as a family. And that's the reality, a stroke that happens to people out of nowhere, oftentimes with very little warning signs, affects that individual in a devastating way. But there's a definite ripple effect on their immediate caregiver and then additional loved ones. And I felt really passionate about the work that was being done here at the National Stroke Association, because it impacts the whole family.
Now, how would you answer if I were to ask you, what does the National Stroke Association do? You know, I mean, we all hear about, you know, the Cancer Society and the Lung Association. Yeah. What do you do?
Gosh, that's a big question with a lot of answers, but okay. I can give you the short version.
Sure.
The short version is that we support the full spectrum of stroke. We work hard with the community to prevent stroke. I think the ideal situation is if we could just ensure that no one had strokes at all ever again. But the reality is that is very difficult. There are a number of risk factors. They are sometimes difficult to control. And that's a really hard thing to tackle. So we do work there, because if we can even prevent one stroke, gosh, I'd say that's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, we want individuals to recognize a stroke. Stroke oftentimes prevents itself in a very distinct way, through, you know, drooping of the face, you know, one side paralysis, slurred speech, things like that. And if we can get more individuals to recognize stroke through our educational programs, they can get to the hospital faster and receive potentially life-saving or life-changing treatment more quickly and more successfully than they may have otherwise. But a bulk of what we do, and I would say our largest concentration, is with that survivor population. There are over 7 million survivors in the U.S., and they go home from the hospital with varying degrees and combinations of lifelong disabilities that they're having a hard time navigating through.
Right.
And so providing support and giving them direction when they get discharged from the hospital, so they can reintegrate into their lives, so they can, you know, go back to work, so their caregivers can reduce their personal burden, because caregiving is hard. That is work that is important, and there's a huge gap in care there, and we feel that we have a significant responsibility in supporting those survivors through their lifelong recovery, because recovery is lifelong. It's not 6 months. It's not 12 months. Individuals after stroke and survivors can make improvements if they work hard their entire life. And we want to be right there with them, meeting them where they are and helping them tack their growing and changing needs.
Are we seeing more people having strokes? I mean, obviously I didn't pay as much attention to it before I had mine, but does it seem like more people are having strokes, or I do know it's affecting younger people, right?
Absolutely. There is a growing stroke population for a number of different reasons. One being the aging baby boomer population. That was a big influx in our population, and stroke does disproportionately affect the aging population for a lot of reasons. And so as that group grows, they're statistically more likely to have a larger number of strokes happening. I also think that stroke is getting better identified, particularly in the younger population, where doctors and healthcare professionals maybe didn't always accurately diagnose stroke because there was the misconception that stroke only happened to grandmas and grandpas. That's just not true. Children can have stroke, young people in their 20s and 30s, it really does not discriminate. And so I think accurate diagnosis certainly has helped us know that more young people, in fact, are experiencing a stroke. But young women in particular are experiencing more stroke, and women does disproportionately affect women and minority populations. And so that's really important information for those demographics to understand, because preventative care can very much save your life or help you definitely reduce your lifelong risk for stroke.
Now, did you say you've been there for 6 years, is it?
I have, yes.
Has there been an increase or a change in physical therapy or speech therapy? It seems like we have more tools available for us as we learn to live with these strokes.
Absolutely. I think particularly in the rehabilitative space, there are some of the most amazing rehabilitative physical therapists, occupational therapists, and the speech language pathologists, and they are very eager for more education and information to better support their patient population. And since stroke is on the rise, they're seeing an increase in the percentage of their rehabilitative care being stroke survivors. And so there is absolutely an increase in resources and support that's specific to stroke to help people with, you know, balance and self-care, and a big part of it is that reintegration into their normal life. And so we're so thankful that we get to work every day with so many wonderful rehabilitative specialists that we're able to create continuing professional education and resources that allow them to better serve the patient population.
We're talking to Crystal Blaylock from the National Stroke Association, and I found your website when I was recovering, and I also found the Facebook page, which has really been helpful. Do you find that? Do you put a lot of concentration on that Facebook page to get stroke survivors and their caregivers talking?
Gosh, absolutely. What an amazing community that's come together on our Facebook page, because they have the opportunity to interact with one another and to share their experiences and their successes and celebrate, because recovery is hard, but there is so much to celebrate. And I love how our Facebook community has really built one another up and empowered and encouraged each other. Because stroke is isolating because of mobility issues or speech issues, depression and other things that affect the survivor population, their ability to connect on our Facebook page really is a very powerful thing. Celebration of survivorship and realizing that you're not alone and that there are others who are experiencing these same challenges, I really think is an important motivation and part of recovery. And so we are very, very thankful that our Facebook page in particular allows such a large percentage of the stroke survivor population and their caregivers and loved ones to connect with one another. We also find great success in connecting our community through our Comeback Trail Walk series. It's a physical event where people can literally stand arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder with one another, celebrating their recovery and coming together in communities all across the country. And that is such an important part of survivorship.
I know one of the, I was really touched by a post, I believe it was the end of last week, where someone said, blank is something only a stroke survivor can understand. And I read that because, like you said, it was great to see that others experience, quite a few people mentioned the fatigue that I deal with, and it was nice to see that, you know, you're not alone, that still 20 months out from my stroke, people people had the same problem.
Absolutely. I'm so glad that that resource and that community was available for you, because otherwise it's hard to understand and to come to terms with your unique set of disabilities or challenges that you're dealing with. So I'm so glad to hear that that was available for you.
It seems like no two strokes are alike. Is that true?
It so is. It is so true, because stroke happens in different parts of the brain for everyone. So those immediate brain cells that are damaged because of lack of blood flow and oxygen, it's going to be different for every person. So some folks have physical, some are cognitive, some are speech. And so every single stroke presents itself a little bit differently in terms of how you immediately see someone, maybe through paralysis or speech. But then how it affects them on the short and long term is going to be unique as well, which is why it makes it so difficult to tackle in supporting our community. But we're in it for the long haul, that's for sure.
I would assume that you have seen many advances since your grandparents had their stroke, and there's hope as more and more advances are made, right?
Absolutely. I would say that it has been so impressive to watch the treatment and therapies improve over the years, where, you know, years ago there was no treatment at all, and it was just you kind of waited it out and hoped that someone made it through it. And then we had the life-saving TPA, the clot-busting drug, and there are more new drugs coming down the market to more safely retrieve clots, to repair hemorrhages, and to provide, you know, longer windows for treatment opportunities after a stroke has happened. The technology that's coming down the pipeline for stroke survivors is incredible, and I'm so thankful for it, because it is truly going to save lives.
To find out more, go to stroke.org, or you can follow them on Facebook. It's the National Stroke Association. I highly recommend it. If you have a stroke, or someone in your family has a stroke, or if they're a caregiver, there's a lot of help available on that website and on that Facebook page. Even if it's just to find out that you're not alone. Thank you for tuning in this week. I'm Pete Braley.